Certainly like to welcome each of you here this evening and those that are live streaming. I hope we've come prepared to hear our brother deliver the words that the Lord has placed upon his heart. Certainly our brother Jim is no stranger to any of us. I was talking to Kim this afternoon and part of our conversation I thought, I don't really remember when I met Jim. He was just always there. So in my life, he was just always there. From the time I was a little kid, I can remember he was just there. So it's certainly that type of relationship I've had with Jim and have a great respect for him and know he loves the Lord and know he loves to serve. And so I certainly would ask your careful and your prayerful attention for the words he delivers this evening. Jim?
Thank you, Andy. I've always been there for Andy. I remember when he was born. Oh, I had a great love for his family. It seemed like they were a great part of my life for many, many years, his mom and his dad both. Well, I kind of feel like this is musical chairs for your speaker this evening. I was up, then I was down because I was supposed to be on my way to Missouri, and now I'm not, so I'm back up. And Gary gets to go somewhere else and do it sometime, another time down the road. But my comments tonight are very much affected because I didn't have a sermon prepared until the last couple hours. About our comments today that were made during our sacrament service and during our Sunday school this morning. And I was defining Christian. What does it mean to be a Christian? And what I found quite odd, and depending on which dictionary I pulled from, it had a different meaning. Similar, but different. Those who believe in Christ, those who follow Christ, those who believe in Christ's teachings were the definitions of being a Christian. And I hope by the discussions that are going on here today that we have, within our own mindset and our hearts, define what it means to be a Christian and what it means to follow after Christ. Because he's the one and the reason why we're here. So I'm going to start off this evening with a scripture in the Book of Mormon in 2 Nephi. It's one of my favorite scriptures. I use it quite a little bit. It's in 2 Nephi, the 11th chapter. The 48th verse. It's on page 143. And I've tussled back and forth between these first two or three scriptures on which one I was going to use first. But since I brought this one up, I will read it. 2 Nephi, 11th chapter, verse 48. 11th chapter, verse 48. And we talk of Christ, we rejoice in Christ, we preach of Christ, we prophesy of Christ, we write according to our prophecies that our children may know to what source they may look for the remission of their sins. I believe that Nephi knew that it's not only their children that he was writing to, though he most definitely was writing to his children. I think he was writing to all believers of latter day. Those that would be searching for that source for the remission of our sins. Where do we look? Where do we go? The other scripture that I was going to start out with, and I can't believe what I wrote here, so let me make sure I know where I'm going. not what I thought I wrote. It was an Old Testament scripture, and for some reason, when I translated it here, it turned into a B instead of whatever I was supposed to write it down with. It was to know to what source, but it's Psalms, a P.S. It is Psalms, the 9th chapter, verse 11. The psalmist writes this: Sing praises to the Lord, which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings. And that's what we're to do. Just like Nephi told us of all of their writings and declaring of Jesus Christ, the psalmist tells us that we're to go out and declare him unto the people so that they know of his doings. Part of being a Christian. Then in Leviticus, as we talk about Christ, we must talk about his blood. And the service that we had today, the importance of the blood of Christ. In Leviticus, we read this. Leviticus, the 17th chapter, verse 1. I have messed up myself all along. Verse 11 in the 17th chapter. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. It was the blood of Christ, that very thing that we did partook of this morning in our services, that gives us a remission of our sins and atoneth for our souls. It's what feeds our soul. It's what gives our soul strength. When we read the prayer over the bread and the wine, it's so that we would remember him and that our souls will be filled and would be full. So we speak of him, and we're to talk of him, and we're to talk to people about his actions and what they did for us. Let's turn over into 3 Nephi chapter 5. ninth chapter of 3 Nephi. And he said unto them, that he that eateth this bread eateth of my body to his soul. And he that drinketh of this wine drinketh of the blood unto his soul. And his soul shall never hunger nor thirst, but be filled. When we testify of Christ in our lives, do we testify of his saving grace and the things that he did for us and the things that he continually does for us, the sacrifices that he made on our behalf. So we know that it's his blood and his life that washes us clean. And we know a little bit of what he did. So let's go take a look into Alma, the 16th chapter, and read why he came, why the scriptures say that he came. Alma 16, starting the 206th verse, reading two verses. And now behold, I would testify unto you myself that these things are true. Alma's telling us that he knows of his own belief, his own life, the things that have been witnessed to him, that what he's going to impart unto us is true. Just like I know that when I read the scriptures to you, they're true. Alma knows that these things are true. And he writes this, behold, I say unto you that I do know that Christ shall come among the children of men to take upon him the transgressions of his people, that he shall atone for the sins of the world, for the Lord God has spoken it. For it is expedient that an atonement should be made. For according to the great plan of the eternal God, there must be an atonement made, or else no mankind must unavoidably perish. If it was not for Christ, who is the perpetuator of our souls, as Aaron read this morning, to perpetuate for somebody is the action of appeasing a God or spirit or person. The atonement, especially that of Jesus Christ. He's our perpetuation. He is our atonement between us and God. He's the one that stands in that gap for us. And in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, he says that he's the author and the finisher of our faith. Jesus Christ came to teach us something. His whole life was to follow God's commandments, that we might learn the things that we're required to do. It is by the grace of God that he sent his son to reclaim us. Saved by grace? Yes, we are. We are saved by grace. We are saved by the grace of God because he so loved us that he sent his only begotten son. But in his teachings, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Unfortunately, for a lot of people, they have a hard time with that. That means works. Joel said it very good in our Sunday school, and I'm going to try to quote him. And if I don't, Joel, correct me. Our works show us where we are within God's boundaries. My words. Is that close? It shows us how we're getting along in keeping God's commandments. Our works signify to God that we are trying diligently to keep His commandments. Not that we're succeeding, but that we're laboring under His grace to achieve the final goal. That we're working to keep His commandments. First John. Chapter 3. Verse 8. He that has committed sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Christ came that He could show us that Satan can be defeated. We are under His rule. We follow. But with the help of His Son, the death that sin causes can be overcome. Christ came to bruise the head of Satan, to show him that he was not as powerful as he thinks he is. In Genesis, he's told that the Son of Man would come and bruise his head. He's fulfilling that prophecy when He came to deliver us, bringing the plan of salvation and the plan of redemption to the children of men. 1 Corinthians. Chapter 15. Paul writes, starting with verse 1, reading through verse 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, but which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory that I have preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So throughout the Scriptures, the Old Testament all the way down teaches Christ and the things that He's was going to accomplish and going to do. Now I'm going to read a scripture that you're going to think is out of place. And hopefully I can bring it into place. Luke, the second chapter. Starting with verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were so afraid. We celebrate the birth of Christ in December. I believe it's a good thing that we celebrate His birth. I don't care what day it is. I think it brings cheer in winter months and helps start the new year by singing psalms of joy of the birth of Christ, the Son of God. But I think we read here that that's not when He was born in December. We're going to read, I believe He's born in the spring. Some believe April 6th was the date of his birth. But I say, I know it's definitely in the spring, and I'll tell you why here in a minute. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tithing and great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is the Christ the Lord." The anointed one of God was born. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men." And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them and unto heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even to Bethlehem and see these things which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." I hope you're scratching your head right now. Why would he read about the shepherds when he's talking of Christ? This is the time that the shepherds were out in the field with their flocks to do one important thing. It's lambing season. This is when they got the lambs that were to be used in the sacrifice of Passover. Lambing season. What was Christ? John, 1st chapter, 29th verse. He's a Lamb of God. God has a plan. And I think he did things, had the birth and death of Christ in such a position that those that were studied in the Mosaic Law should have recognized who he was. He set him in place for us that we can look back and see in history where God has made things happen in a set way. It was lambing season. When would the Lamb of God be born? With the rest of the lambs that were being slain for the sins of mankind? Just like I believe that if you look at his death and Passover, it was for a reason. Because it's his blood on our lintel of our souls that protects us from sin. That gives Christ the right to stand in front of us when we are judged and judge us righteously for our works, good or bad. Because if it was not for that lamb being born and the blood of that lamb being spread for mankind, we would not have the ability to stand before God. Because the law demanded our destruction before we got there. So God put things in order in history for us to look at and to ponder upon that would cause us to think of his greater plan. His lamb was born during lambing season. His lamb was slain at the Passover for the forgiveness of the sins of the house of Israel, for the sins of all mankind. So if God did this in this order, what does he have over here for us in our future? He has the promises of his son to stand with us and to guide us and direct us each and every step of our life if we're willing to hold his hand. That's why I wanted to read the scripture about the shepherds, because they were doing an important part. They didn't realize what part they're playing in God's plan. Do we realize what part we're playing in God's plan? I don't, because I know my weakness, and I know I will fail. But I am thankful for my Savior who will pick me up, dust me off, and when I am weak, carry me. Because He is the Lamb of God. He's already gone before me. He's already done that work. I have to believe. And I have to work to show that I believe. I cannot be a lump on the log. I have to stand up and to grow and let fruits come forth to show my faith and my belief in my God and my Savior. So yes, we are to talk of Christ. We're to shine the light of Christ in our lives. Christ did a great work, one that we can't do. But He is calling, come unto me. If you love me, keep my commandments and be a light unto the world. In Isaiah, the first chapter, starting with the 18th verse. Learn to do well, seek judgment. This is the 17th verse of chapter of Isaiah. Relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, and plead for the widow. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as the snow. Though they be as red as crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat of the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Christ died on the cross on our behalf. And throughout history, He has been calling unto the children of man to come and to believe on Him and keep His commandments. And He's willing to discuss with you. Come and let us reason together. He's not just leaving you out there by your own self. He's wanting you to communicate with Him in prayer. Talk with Him, and He'll talk back to you. It's a trial of our faith when we don't hear it immediately. It's a big trial. One that sometimes is hard to bear. But we have His promise that He will not leave us. He will take us, and He'll do exactly what the Scripture says. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be as red as crimson, they shall be as wool. Don't be afraid to speak of Christ, to talk of Christ, to be like they were in 2 Nephi. I would like to read that scripture again. Because not only are we doing it for ourselves, but we're doing it for our children and our children's children. Let us talk of Christ. Let us rejoice in Christ. Let us, through the foolishness of preaching, hear of Christ. Let's read and hear the prophecies of Christ, that our children may know to what source they may find the remission of their sins. Thank you for your time.